With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to Clash of the Titles, the podcast that sees two movies with something in common go head-to-head to see which one does it better. And welcome to part two of this week's War for the White House. So, on Monday's episode, Gerard bottled his way to victory over some pesky Korean terrorists and Olympus has fallen. And today, Channing is going to Tatum to the cleaners as a terrorist group of rednecks, hackers and disillusioned former government employees try to take the White House down in 2013's White House Down. We'll have the champion at the end of the show, but which film will it be? Let's find out. It's Clash of the Titles.
Release the Kraken!
Hello, Clash Butters. Get off my Jordans. I'm Alex Zane.
I'm Vicky Crompton. I'm
Chris Tilley.
So, part two of this week's War for the White House. We are recording this in advance, but it is 2 days after the US election. Not sure if we'll know the winner of that because of postal votes by now, but we will have a winner at the end of the show. That is unless Trump has refused to yield power and there really are tanks on the streets of Washington, D.C., in which case we'll probably not put this episode out. Okay. These were my choices. So Chris was our eyes and ears around the White House on Monday, which means today Victoria is our tour guide for White House Down. V, take us on a journey.
Despite what you may think, White House Down is actually a very different film from Olympus Has Fallen, because the hero is a failed Secret Service agent who doesn't know his way around the White House.
Your dad here has a job interview with the Secret Service.
Why do you want to be in the Secret Service?
I can't think of a more important job than protecting the president.
In college, you barely maintained a C average.
Which may explain why he spends the midsection mostly in a lift shaft. Other than that, and a plot twist involving that most dynamic of devices, an old pager.
And I found this pager in Walker's pocket. I only know one other person that uses one of these. You're a goddamn traitor, sir.
It's exactly the fucking same.
Is that it?
That's it, yeah. That's it.
Shall I read my one out from last week as well, just to pad the runtime?
That I wrote that down. I was like, how long are they in that lift shaft?
And it they got back to it. They
half an hour. Half an hour of so the movie. Ridiculous. There's a lot of shafts in this movie.
I watched the behind the scenes on the Blu-ray, and there's a lot of behind the scenes in that lift shaft with basically Roland Emmerich trying to stop them from pissing about, basically. The two of them can't really take any of it seriously.
I wish there'd been a bit more of that in the movie of them messing about.
You got Jane Tatum saying, I got a feeling this White House might be down.
So we've established that you two saw both these films but in press screenings, but they're sort of indistinguishable. I'd never seen either of them because I was holding off for this glorious day.
You knew in 2013 that 7 years I'll be sitting down with these two idiots to talk about
these. I felt the breath of glory in my ear and on my shoulder. I was like, hold on to that.
Wet.
God, are you all right? Why did you just do
just
that?
Just wet breath. Sort of. I imagine Glory has got quite wet breath.
No, like an angel's whisper.
Okay.
Anyway.
That's more a noise than breath, though.
Talk about the film.
Do you mean like angel's breath?
Yeah.
Like an angel blowing gently on your scalp.
Vicky.
Vicky, 7 years from now.
We've got to stop having fag breaks. This is no good. So I thought when Chris on Monday's episode was talking about the background to Olympus Has Fallen, I was amazed that you could find out stuff, because all I can find out about White House Down is the sort of arms race it was in with Olympus Has Fallen. So we will, should we go into that a bit?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Angels whispering. Yes. Go into it, Vicky.
Go into it.
Well, I think it is remarkable how quickly this film got made.
Because they were in a race to get it made. So James Vanderbilt, who we know from Zodiac, the excellent Zodiac, he writes a spec script and it sells for an unbelievable $3 million. So then it's kind of like the race is on, but Olympus Has Fallen, they felt better about their film in terms of its position because it did. White House Down didn't have anyone attached. So they were like, okay, we're going to be all right. But then in this sort of madness race, we get Channing Tatum and Jamie Foxx secured. So then everything starts shifting around in terms of release dates. And so both productions appear to have been pushed and pushed. Everyone's moving their release date to see it sooner, nearer, further, by a month, etc., etc.
Very different meanings.
And a lot of the issues were around Channing Tatum as well, because they wanted him really badly for this role, but he was only free for 10 weeks.
Mm.
So they had to shoot all his stuff at the front end of the film. And it was 14 months between them doing the deal and it being in a cinema.
Yeah, which is
nuts.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So directed by Roland Emmerich, as we all know. So I just thought I'd read out some quotes from him about how different the films are.
Okay. I've got a good one from Vanderbilt to come as well. Let's do it.
So Roland Emmerich says theirs, meaning Olympus Has Fallen, is quite a different movie. Ours is PG-13 and A Threat from Within. And there have always been two or three similar movies around at the same time. There's room for both. Turns out that wasn't true, which is a real shame. And then he goes on to say, you do your film, they do their film. And I remember when there were two Volcano and two Meteor movies. And I thought, isn't Clash of the Titles a good idea? And he thought, isn't Hollywood stupid to do that? They're stupid, is our meat and two veg. And this is, I think this is the clue to really what happened, which he said, all of a sudden I was in the same situation. And I said, although, wasn't he in the same situation with Independence Day and Mars Attacks, where he was in a race to release it? So he's like, this is not, can't be that much of a surprise. Like, this never happens. Like, you did this before. This was your fault before.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And you won before.
Yeah, you did.
Different story.
Can't win twice. And I said, I'm not stopping. I like my script. I have the two coolest dudes I always wanted to work with together in one film. I'm not stopping. So maybe that's it. Maybe he's just like, well, you know, I'm going to do mine and you stop doing yours and no one would. And so you end up with two identical films.
But the fact that the Olympus Has Fallen, they started developing that in 2002 and the deal was done, you know, 2011, 2012. Like James Vanderbilt, I've got to ask some questions for him really about where this idea came from.
Yeah.
And a quote from him on the Blu-ray, he says, the fact that we are an original film with an original story setting, coming out as a big summer movie is a really exciting thing for me.
Okay. Yeah,
Thanks for that, James.
Kicking a brown paper bag to the security, the WGA files, sniffing about for all the spec scripts that haven't sold. Oh, that's interesting.
But isn't that amazing that it went for $3 million? Because no one else was like, we've got one of them. So I find that incredible.
Yeah.
Like,
I think it was because Emmerich wanted it and wanted to make it. And so to make Emmerich happy, the studio bought it for him.
Yeah.
He's written some great films, James Vanderbilt. I had a look down his list, and I know this. A lot of people don't like this film. I love Basic, the John Travolta movie. Mm. He wrote that. He wrote one of my favourite action movies of all time, Welcome to the Jungle, a.k.a. The Rundown, The Rock and Sean William Scott. Brilliant film that he wrote. Obviously, Zodiac, The Losers, which is really good. Then he wrote White House Down shortly after that. Also, The Meg is one of his.
Oh, is
terrible.
It?
I didn't like The Meg.
Are you going to tell me the fact again that you told me on WhatsApp the other day, which I think is so interesting?
Ben Wheatley's directing The Meg 2.
Ben Wheatley is doing The Meg 2.
Odd.
Which could, I said to Chris, I'm like, if he has got a great killer shark movie in him, I'm on board. And obviously we were talking about it recently, but James Vanderbilt is writing the new Scream film.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Okay.
Yeah. But I love the idea that you write Zodiac and that's your fucking calling card, and then you just write what you want.
Whatever you want. Because yeah, no one can argue with it. Also,
I love the idea that he's like sitting there writing Zodiac going, I hate this, all this fucking dialogue. But if this gets me the Meg, then oh, it's worth all the hardship.
So, yeah, that's it. Do you want to talk about the film? Anything else?
Just the one thing I do have is most of this film was shot in an indoor golf range.
Why is that hilarious? Yeah.
They converted a huge indoor golf range into what they called the bubble, and that's where they built all the sets, including the outdoor sets, and that's where the film was made.
Okay.
In a golf range.
With a lift shaft.
Yeah, yep. They built a lift shaft.
Channing, put down the driver and come and do some fucking work.
So I don't think it behoves us to go through the plot too
But no,
finely,
we just did that on Monday.
We've done it already.
I will say this. When I saw it was 2 hours and 11 minutes long and it came up, I was like, oh, fuck off. Yeah. 2 hours and 11 minutes. You don't need that much time.
As I said, I bought the Blu-ray, which has a director's commentary. I decided I couldn't face it again.
No.
Especially when this movie takes too long to get started. Whereas Olympus Has Fallen goes, here's a fucking plane blowing up Washington, D.C. This is like 24 minutes. I counted it. Well, I didn't count. I pressed pause. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000. I pressed pause.
Oh,
at 24 minutes, the only thing that's happened is Channing Tatum hasn't got a job.
Yes.
That he fails a job interview. That's 24 minutes into the film.
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. All right, so we'll talk about our sort of archetypes, our big characters. Let's talk about Jamie Foxx as the president, because is this not the greatest fucking guy in the world? So the filmmakers really want us to draw parallels between Jamie Foxx and Abraham Lincoln, because he's got the watch that Mary Todd gave to old Abe. They do the flyby past the statue so he can go, oh, woman in my plane, you do know. That scene to me, Maggie Gyllenhaal is like a political aide. What is she, head of the Secret Service? Something.
She's head of the Secret Service,
yeah.
I think.
So he's like, did you know that Abraham Lincoln made sure that the votes of women were pushed forward? And she's like, I did know that, yeah, sir. And it's like, of course she knew
but
that.
She doesn't know that off her own back. She goes, I did know that because you told me, sir. If you hadn't, I'd be oblivious.
And I'd have to pretend to not know for the rest of my life. So he's cool about women, great. He wants to end poverty. He wants to take down private military and security companies. He wants to blow apart the military industrial complex. He wants to solve conflict in the Middle East. He wants to do it all.
And he can deliver a YouTube video very, very nicely.
Oh, yeah.
He's so cool.
That is quite
sweet. Wants to give up smoking.
He wants to give up smoking. Yep. Okay, so that's his final good act. So there's our president. He is incredible. Then our hero, John Cale, Channing Tatum, has got problems with his super smart, in brackets, yawn, daughter, who calls him John.
Why are we yawning in brackets? Because this poor little girl. She just wants to wave her flags.
I know. I'm sorry to jump ahead, but did you really think the payoff was going to be flag twirling? Because I didn't, but I was thrilled.
It's incredible.
Did you not love that? I was like, this film does tick. Like, James Vanderbilt's script ticks all the boxes it sets up earlier. It's like, are you kidding?
Yep.
She's twirling a flag because actually her talent show did pay off in that ugly ripoff of The Rock, by the way.
It's like
Roland Emmerich and Michael Bay, you can draw comparisons anytime, but Roland Emmerich ripping off the green smoke at the end of The Rock, and you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And you even fluff it because you can't drop a bomb at all. So you don't even get the bomb's been released at the end of The Rock, which is the best part where you think Nicolas Cage is dead and then he's not because you fluffed it. It was a stupid thing to do, Roland.
It was. And also, just to give Cale, Channing Tatum's relationship with his daughter a bit of edge, she calls him John and you're sitting there thinking, I bet you all the money in my purse, she's going to be calling him dad by the end of the film, if not daddy, actually. So
I didn't buy her as his daughter for a second. I didn't buy it. I mean, I could have bought them being brother and sister, maybe, but it just didn't feel like a father-daughter relationship on screen.
No. So
it's because he's been an absent dad, so they don't have that.
No, I just didn't buy it. I just didn't buy him. I didn't buy them.
Right. You're not meant to, though, because like he's been distant. He's been off in Afghanistan getting injured in the Kunar province. Missed a joke there. Whereabouts is that on your body?
That is rubbish. But that's a good point, because that brings us to the kind of the engine of Channing Tatum's character, which is he goes for the world's most intense and fucking arsey job interview to be a Secret Service agent with Maggie Gyllenhaal.
She does not come off well in this scene. She's a bit too nasty to him.
It's like there's something else going on, but Really? That went, first of all, that shouldn't be the sort of job that you can blag your way into anyway. It should be much more stringent.
They need two agents there. Those are the rules. Yeah. Agent Todd's got to be there.
So you just think there is something else going on. And they do know each other. And he's like, oh, we used to have these study sessions. And it's like, where is that going? That never comes
yeah,
back.
Yeah, it's the film doesn't need that potential romantic subplot.
Well, they
set up and don't do anything with
it. I take it back. I was like, it ticks every box it introduces. It doesn't. It does flag twirling. Never explains how they know each other.
No.
And there's a bit of character work for her, for Maggie Gyllenhaal here, because she's overcommitted. She's tired. Her boss, who's our baddie, James Woods, who I think is called Martin in this, is he?
I think he might be.
It comes up quite a lot because some of the dialogue is just like, they're like, people just start going, Martin, what are you doing? I just find that hilarious. Like, he's just shot everyone. They're like, Martin, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I mean, even just to go, Martin, no, is more powerful than, Martin, what are you doing?
You shouldn't be doing this, Martin.
Martin,
I saw you this morning. What has changed between this morning? Did you have a bad coffee?
So
he's a White House Martin.
Mm. Oh, that's nice.
White House Martin.
House Martin.
Yeah. It's. I'd like to suggest that his whole plan wasn't instigated until his leaving present from his mate. I think Roger, who he kills, is a certificate for a massage.
A massage. Yeah.
That's not a gift. That James Woods doesn't strike me as a kind of guy who'd be a massage guy. I think they hate him. Or they're just trying to trigger this entire event by giving him that gift certificate.
Possibly. So I want to... Oh, now, no, but it kicks off around about now. So we've got paramilitaries. So the threat, as Roland Emmerich rightly says, the threat is from within. They're not external foreign forces. But I found it weirdly unexciting. So they blow up the Capitol building. But for some reason, I was just like... Ugh. Now, I don't know if it's because I watched them too close together, but it just didn't... It didn't feel scary. It didn't feel...
It's not helped by the fact that... There's no real explanation for how this group has got together. They all have seemingly disparate missions. There's like a hacker. Then there's the comedic relief, which are the rednecks, which is puzzling, which we'll get on to, because my biggest problem with this film
rednecks,
is tonally.
White supremacists, you know.
Yeah, and they are.
But
tonally, this film is all over the place, right? From like going... This scene is being played for laughs. You'll have James Woods killing his second in command, like in a kind of horrible way, just gunning him down. And then the next scene will be like the tour guide shouting at one of the rednecks, going, you should respect the antiques in the White House. And you're like, what are these two scenes doing next to each other?
I really want to talk about the hacker, played by Jimmy Simpson, whose name I don't know.
Jimmy Simpson. So he's brilliant. He was...
No, I mean his character's name.
Oh,
I only know him from House of Cards.
He was in Westworld. He was main guy in Westworld. And... He plays one of the McPoyles in Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, okay.
He's really, really good.
Yep.
But his character, because he's a hacker, is called Skip Tyler.
I fucking love it. I love this trope of the tech savant who's high functioning but quirky because he eats lollipops for no fucking reason. And he's always got a black turtleneck on. Of course he does. And what is he even doing? And he listens to classical music to be like, oh, I'm just so fucking smart. But it's a shame because I don't think it's brilliantly directed when he's like, I'm going to hack into NORAD. And what I'm going to do, because I'm so clever, is I'm going to count down from 10, because that's all up to 10, because that's how easy it is for me. It's like, well, that's quite boring though, isn't it? Like, I'd like to see some hacking.
Yeah, I'd also like to see him interact with any of the characters at any point, as opposed to most of his scenes being shot completely separate to the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
No one comes to see him. He's literally in a room of monitors and then he's dead.
And then he's dead. And the whole, because when he blows himself in, he has to go like, oh dear, or something.
So let's talk about that now. That's one of my problems with this film. Because like I think Olympus Has Fallen is a sloppily made film at times.
Agreed.
But it doesn't have anything as bad as his death, because there is no explanation
I don't know how it happened.
For his death. Why he's dressed up as a military officer, so he's going to try and scoot out, pretending to be part of the military. He tries the key card once on the bomb at the way out. It doesn't work. He breathes on it, tries it again, and blows up.
Yeah.
Explanations.
No idea.
Chris?
Yeah, I wonder if there's an implication that Channing Tatum had set up a bomb there
or
something.
No, because the bomb is the bomb that stops Channing Tatum getting out. The team themselves, the terrorists, set up the bomb. Maybe he didn't. But the only thing I could find in my grey matter as an explanation for this
is... Oh, here we go. It's going to be good.
Strap in. Is when he deletes his security profile. You know, he looks on the computer and he's like, oh, that's me, and I'm going to wipe that.
Yep.
He inadvertently, because he deletes his identity, somehow deletes the key card identity related to him.
Yep.
So that's why it doesn't work and that's why he blows up.
That can be the only reason, and that is such a day one being a hacker. Don't make that mistake.
And surely it shouldn't require that much guesswork from the audience.
Yeah, it's a stupid moment. It's a stupid moment, taking the most intelligent guy on the terrorist team and having him make a stupid mistake.
Yeah. So we should talk about the rest of the bad guys. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about all of them because I sort of lost the thread, but I did like Jason Clarke as Emil, who's this pissed off American who was doing wet work in Pakistan, but then the mission pulled out or something. So he had to spend 2 years in a Taliban-controlled jail. And he's understandably quite mad about that. But you're in a room with him quite a lot of the time. And then, as you've mentioned, this character of Donnie Donaldson, played by Nicholas Wright, of the tour guide. And so this is the light relief to all the tension in this room. As Roland Emmerich said in another interview, you've got a young girl, Emily, Channing Tatum's daughter, a lot of the time being overtly threatened, and you do need a little bit of light relief. But the bigger point for me,
I don't know if you do need light relief.
No,
like this is an action film. Like, and there's a girl in danger. Like, that's part of what makes an action film happen. I don't need jokes in those scenes.
But also, they're the as bad guys go, they're the kindest, meanest bad guys, and they're the most rubbish expert bad
they're
guys.
They're wallies. They're quickly established as wallies, though, which is not helpful, I don't think. When they get together and they're talking to each other, you realise there's a bunch of nitwits here. Mm. And that's not very threatening.
The film doesn't help because things start going wrong for them way too early in this movie. Like, there isn't a long enough period.
Instantly.
Yeah, there's not a long enough period where you're like, they are a real threat. I don't know how this is going to be solved. It's like the minute, like, Channing Tatum goes, oh, I've got the president now, you're fucked. And Jason Clarke, things start going wrong for him. I feel sorry for him because he goes from being this force of, like, I am really good at my job here, to sort of running around making it personal and making stupid mistakes.
They really shoehorn it. He's like, I'm going to kill that guy. And it's like, you've got a job to do and you really should be concentrating on that and maybe not worry about all the other stuff. But he's like, no, I'm going to risk everything to kill this one person.
And you don't understand the power dynamic between him and James Woods. James Woods is shouting at him and it's like, and the biggest problem is, at least James Woods, you get the idea that he wants to blow up the Middle East. That's what he wants to do.
Benign.
What does Jason Clarke want? Are they actually stealing the money or is that a ruse? It's very unclear what Jason wants.
Yeah. I think
wants.
The rest of them are all in it for the money.
Right.
They think they do it for the money. They don't particularly like America. It's no coincidence they're all American. I think that's a good thing in this film.
Yeah.
And that's the switcheroo. So it's a hard die, if it were. They switch around the Die Hard thing where in Die Hard you think they're there for the money. But really, they're there to be terrorists, but they're really there for the money. Here, you think they're there for the money, but they're really there to be terrorists, or the villain is.
But you kind of want to bring that to a head, like where suddenly James Woods is like, actually, fuck the money, this is more important. And Jason Clarke's like, I was here for the money. If you don't give me the money, then what was I doing here? Like, you need a bit of headbutting.
You kind of get that, but it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't go anywhere. I think it gets said, but then nothing gets done. Because I think that you've got our heroes come in the room and it's...
I think in 2 hours and 11 minutes, if you can't establish a motive for half your bad guys, then there's a problem.
Oh, I agree.
James Vanderbilt.
$3 million.
Exactly. So let's talk about Channing Tatum and Jamie Foxx in a lift shaft for a very, very long time. It just made me so frustrated. I don't mind them going in there at first and being on the roof, apart from rubbish bad guy. He hears them on the roof. The lift jams and he's like, nah, I'll just leave that. And it's like, well, they're obviously on the roof of the lift.
Well, his mate does go, the lift's over 100 years old. These are very heavy surface-to-air missiles. It'll be that. He's like, well, yeah, but I heard them talking about how he's the president. It's like, yeah, but lifts talk.
Yeah. And so there is a scene in the president's private kitchen where Jamie Foxx has to kill someone. And I think this is meant to bond. Oh, and it's very important to me because Channing Tatum takes his top off. So at last.
He's wearing a John McClane vest.
So he's in his white vest. Thank God.
I think there should be a rule. If you are doing a Die Hard ripoff, you have to rule out the white vest. You have
really?
To go. You just can't do it.
But then what would you put on the poster? And then why would people go and see it?
Just Channing Tatum's chest.
Like okay, that. So you have no top off?
Yeah. You'd be in Magic Mike outfit.
Yeah. No, but,
that's a great idea.
But no head. Like just his chest, like the whole poster is his chest.
There's nothing wrong
just
with
his tits.
Just a tattoo of White House down, like in the middle of his nipples.
A big eagle. That would be nice. Yeah. That's really distracting me. That thought actually. Sorry.
What? An eagle on his chest.
No.
What's the distracting bit? The bird of prey or the chest underneath?
I think the chest underneath. If I'm being completely honest. So they forge this bond to the point where, at this sort of point of the film, there is the potential for Jamie Foxx to escape and Channing Tatum won't go out of the White House because he wants to rescue his daughter. Fine, whatever. And Jamie Foxx says, no, no way, man. I am going to stay with you. It's like, what the fuck?
It's the Aaron Eckhart moment of going, I want the Korean delegation in the bunker with me. That's not, you're the fucking president.
Yeah, you really need to leave.
It's like, it's almost like everyone else is saying to like Jamie Foxx, you're the president, so you really need to make the right decision as the president and save this country. And he's like,
I really want to.
I'm kind of a good guy.
And even doesn't Channing Tatum say, you have to go, otherwise this was all for nothing. Mm. That's so true. And then there's some driving around on the lawn for a bit.
Good moments.
No.
Oh, I enjoyed this moment.
What, someone driving around in circles?
Yeah, because there's a rocket launcher.
Yeah, that bit's brilliant.
Yeah, okay, well, that's the bit. I mean, I know the bit where they're driving around the fountain is
forever.
A little bit silly, but you kind of go, Roland Emmerich has clearly gone, I really want a car chase in here. And James Vanderbilt has gone,
we can't.
There's no roads because you're in the White House. He's like, well, there's a lawn. It's like, scribble, 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 $3 million. Got you.
I found it so frustrating. Maybe because I don't know the area at all. But all I'm watching...
You've never seen on the telly? It's quite famous.
Do you know how big that grass bit is?
Well, the president lives.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, in Washington.
But just driving round and round in circles, what's the end game there? You are not going to win that game.
Trying to get out, though. They're trying to escape.
But they can't, because they'd have to drive. He says it almost immediately. You can't drive through that fence.
Yeah, but then
so
they
don't.
Blow it up with a rocket launcher.
Yeah, but why does it take them? Like, it takes them like 10 minutes to decide.
They didn't know a rocket launcher was in the car.
They had to find the rocket launcher. And they're also being chased by the baddies, so they're getting away from them while trying to get out.
A tank drives over the fence to try and create space, and then that doesn't work because someone blows it up with an RPG and it's just stuck there.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in that moment. It's a pretty exciting action sequence.
It's not, and I agree. I like a car chase, but in a car chase, you have to go somewhere, and I don't think you can go round and round in circles.
The problem is the shot, I think it's on the news, or from a news helicopter looking down on the car driving round and round the fountain, is such bad CGI.
Yeah.
It looks bad, and then it's a bit silly.
It's really silly.
It's not really silly.
It is really silly.
It's not really silly.
And then...
Around this time, we find out that Walker, or as you call him, Martin, has a tumour the size of a golf ball on his frontal lobe, and he's got 3 months to live. Do we need that? I mean, he's angry because his son's been killed and he wants revenge. Do we need the addition of, he's dying as well, so...
I wondered if it was suggesting that it was pressing on part of
making bad decisions.
A gland and so he'd gone psychotic.
That's what I
thought. Not too much,
but in that moment, I was like, oh, that sort of explains his...
It's pushing his angry button.
I think... But genuinely, I think it was suggesting that, like, literally... No, we want you, the audience, to know that no one in government, in central government, would ever do this if they didn't have the tumour the size of a golf ball.
All right, well, then my next question is, what's going on with his wife then, who within 20 seconds of speaking to him decides he's doing the right thing?
It is a bit peculiar because I love the old switcheroo, any old switcheroo I'm a big fan of, and she's like, you do whatever it takes, honey, whatever.
For Kevin.
Brilliant. But is she in on the plan? Because the plan turns out to be to blow up the whole of Iran, and that's a fucking mental plan. So does she know that plan? And she's like, if you need to blow up Iran, you should.
She knows what they know on the outside. So if they know that, then she knows that.
But I don't think anyone does know that. We, the audience, don't know that because then Martin reveals it later, I'm going to blow up Iran, to solve the Middle East conflict.
She appears to not care who dies.
Mm. Yeah.
Because that's love.
That's real
love. That is real love. Iran, Shmiran. Do it, Martin.
But this golf ball...
You don't have to call me Martin.
This golf ball-sized tumour, which is on his frontal lobe, I'm annoyed we can't see it. Mm. I think it should be sticking out of his forehead.
That's disgusting.
Although he's got 3 months to live, it doesn't appear to be affecting his fighting skills. Jamie Foxx is a pretty fit guy, but when they're fighting each other, he's bang up. He's bang
up
for it.
And it's weird because there's a big part of the film where he has to have a big sit down on the stairs, which at the time you're like, well, obviously it's tiring work trying to take down Iran and the government. But at the time, it just looks like you're a knackered old man because you don't know about the tumor.
2 hours and 11 minutes, and we get 5 minutes of that, him sitting on the stairs doing nothing.
Having a rest.
Doing nothing. I don't understand, because Jamie Foxx, you're right, he's obviously a fitter man. And again, it doesn't really work. Granted, Jamie Foxx is, I think he's 12 years older than Channing Tatum, but does not look it.
No.
And there are sort of moments where Channing Tatum is helping him out of air ducts and stuff, and you're like, he doesn't really look like he needs help. He doesn't look.
He's a fox.
He doesn't look like the age that you're playing him as in this movie.
I agree. And we'll talk more about that after a short break.
Wrestle Me is a show where two men watch every WrestleMania from 1 to 37, unpicking the multicoloured threads that tie it all together.
I think it's slightly something to do with the fact that Americans don't really like cell phones, do they? Right. I think they've all got basic ones, basically.
That's a big shout.
It is a big shout, but I mean, there is something funny about it, like text messaging never took off in the States.
What? Come on now.
Never been big.
Whether you're a lapsed fan or someone who doesn't give a flying laureate about it, there's something for everyone.
If you can get a crowd to boo you for kicking a fabulous ladder.
Fabulous ladder.
And the crowd are booing.
Yeah. Off that lovely ladder we've just learned about.
It's a beautiful polysexual ladder.
It's a beautiful home-based shabby chic creation.
If you climb up to it, ecstasy can be found at the top.
Listen via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your pods.
Wrestle Me is a Staccano production.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
So then Richard Jenkins, who's going to be revealed as our other baddie.
Oh, Dickie Jenkins.
Oh, yeah, tricky Dickie.
So he becomes the president after the VP and Jenna, who is a minor character, but I think she gets a bit of a raw deal. So Jenna is the person.
Got it here. What the fuck?
Yeah. It's so bad.
Who's
awful.
Jenna?
Jenna is the one who gets Channing Tatum the job interview as a favour in the first place.
Oh, yes.
On the basis that she is then going to have a candlelit romantic dinner with Channing Tatum. So she is the one who puts him in a position to save the fucking planet in this movie.
Yeah.
Then she gets on Air Force One as a little cheeky G&T and is dead. She dies in a fireball falling from the sky. But shortchanged doesn't fucking cover it.
And the reason she's being punished for that drink, because it's such a weird scene. She comes out shaking and she's like, and someone gives her the side eye and she's like that rough day her. And she's like, I just need a drink. She's fucking fair enough.
A gin and tonic. Is this coming from the Victoria who went for a bottomless brunch and experienced a lot of gin on Saturday? She's been punished for that drink and she has every right to have a G&T on Air Force One.
I went out on Saturday for that and then I watched this on Sunday. And
you do not punish a woman for drinking gin. You do not.
Yeah, I felt like I was Jenna in that moment.
My favourite story from your weekend, can I share?
Is what it is.
Where you went to a bottomless brunch and then came to in another pub and had no idea why you were in another pub.
I tell you what, we went because we'd made the booking. And at some point, why did not one of us say, like, we can't do that? Like, we don't need to do that.
We've drunk all the gin.
We've drunk everything. There's no need now to go to the pub. We should call it a night.
Booking's a booking. Booking's a booking. I'm on Air Force One.
Especially in these times.
They must have been so surprised to see us. But people need the money, don't they? They were like, come and sit down.
Happy or sad to see you?
I can't really recall.
Just like, surprise. Let's leave it at that. Leave it surprise blank.
I think the only thing that said...
Did you order gin?
No. It was pissing down with rain outside and it was pitch dark by that point, so they couldn't see or hear anything we were saying. So I think that is what saved us.
I fail to believe that I have been in pubs where you've been thrown out for the noise that you make, and you're suggesting that this pub, they couldn't hear you.
It was raining really hot. Right. Anyway, where were we? Yes, so some girl has a drink and then she gets blown up. So that's an awful thing to happen to anyone. Yep. And again,
isn't even fridging.
That's not fridging.
But Channing Tatum doesn't know or care.
No,
someone should tell him.
Her own. If someone told him and he was like, oh, but I could have loved her or got to second base with her, whatever that is.
He's moved on to Gyllenhaal.
On command, she tells him, I want you to try and get to second base.
But it's just, I suppose that's someone's sort of attempt at, like, this is what I think about consent. To where a woman goes, this is literally what you have to do on the night that you will do it. Yeah.
No fucking romance. Get me on that bed.
Yeah, after dinner.
During dinner. Takeaway.
Oh, that's distracting as well. Anyway, where am I up to? So then...
We're still mourning Jenna at the moment and in sort of a roundabout way of mourning your weekend.
Yeah. Well,
I got a question about Roland Emmerich. Does he like the military or not?
That's a good question.
I think so.
Because he seems to celebrate the might of the military on screen regularly, but he also seems to criticise it quite a lot. Mm. You know, I think this is quite an anti-military film.
Right, because they come in and die.
No, because of the military-industrial complex. Like that,
exactly.
That subplot about there are certain... I mean, the whole thing about Jamie Foxx single-handedly negotiating a global peace deal is crackers. But there is the justification for that, which is these guys, they'll never let it rest because there's a lot of money to be made. And there's obviously truth in that somewhere, but there's never going to be one president that's like, and I'm going to blow this whole thing apart, like not in a million years. So there is a...
And that's what's missing in the White House.
Correct.
Roland Emmerich said of this film, it's the first time I don't totally blow the White House up. I just destroy it bit by bit.
Okay. I have an interesting theory, like, because I think, like, you know, 2012, I love. Day After Tomorrow, I love. I love Roland Emmerich's disaster movies. And so I've always considered him a great action director. But I don't know after watching this movie if he really is. I think he does great action on a planetary scale, like massive, massive destruction of the Earth, the tectonic plates splitting open, tidal waves. But give him a car chase and, you know I said it was good, but it's not a great car chase. It's just within this movie, it's something exciting that happens. I don't think he's a great small-scale action director. I don't think the fights are that great. I don't think the gunfights are particularly inspired.
But that's not something he does very often. The action he does is maybe one person being chased by a wave. A tidal wave.
Yeah, a lot of people being chased. There's not what movie are you
talking
about?
Or a wolf. Remember the Wolves in The Day After Tomorrow that show up out of nowhere?
Yeah, I thought you were talking about 10 million years BC. Is it 10 million years BC? 10 million
years.
I never
saw that one.
It's the one with the saber-toothed tiger.
Let's move on.
So let's move on. So
the Wolves are good, by the way.
We've got, again, Richard Jenkins, who's now Prez.
They're good.
Hasn't run any scenarios where this happens because someone says, what are your orders saying? He's like, I don't fucking know, to be honest. But then we've got the reveal that Martin wants to literally blow up the whole of Iran, which did take me by surprise a little bit because as a plan, it seems quite flawed. I don't think that solves many problems and it just kills millions and billions
exactly,
of people.
Because he's got a tumour the size of a golf ball. So you're not thinking straight.
And then there's a weird scene where we're back in the hostage room and Emily has been established as being a little bit in love with Jamie Foxx. Like she's sort of a politics groupie, which is very odd as a character thing.
Not anymore.
What do you mean?
We live in a world where kids are very politicised. So this is actually this is ahead of the game.
No, you.
Yeah, Vicky.
No, jeez. Listen.
Not everyone's thinking about bottomless brunches. They're thinking about changing the fucking planet.
That place, there was younger people that lived there, so. Which was a bit awkward. But show them how it's done. So what I mean is
terrifying image.
I know. Oh God.
Yeah, come over here. As you drink gin.
Stay back.
Don't stand so close to me. I feel like the Nazi at the end of the Last Crusade.
What I mean is, young people are politicised, and that's a brilliant thing and a powerful thing. But her love is not for politics, it's for a politician, and that's a very different thing. She's a groupie for Jamie Foxx. She's not like, I love your policies. She knows about
policies.
She
loves the White House as well. She's a White House groupie.
Yeah, but that's a building. Like, she's not like, oh, and I really believe in equality, diversity and whatever. She's just like...
It's 2 hours, 10 minutes. Did you want another 15 minutes with her explaining her political creed?
No, it is a bit weird at the start. Like, is she just on a news alert? That tells
her. It wakes her up, doesn't it?
But it tells her when the president's helicopters are flying over her house. That seems like a security risk. We just send out a blanket text to everyone, go, President, I'll be flying over Washington, D.C. right now. If you want to let everyone know.
Yeah, it's
in Marine One.
So there's a weird scene where someone's got a gun to Emily's head or something. And the conceit is Jamie Foxx makes her accept her own death and yet still is a great guy.
Forgot about that.
It's so weird. So he's like, look, Emily, you realise I can't stop him from killing you because millions of people will die. She's supposed to go, okay.
She does. She's like, it's you.
Yeah, it's you.
He's like, the power he has over that girl is actually scary.
It's dark. It's dark.
He's playing Obama, though, isn't he? Even the Nicorette, that's an Obama thing.
Yeah.
And tries everything. And the speech pattern he's used. I think if Obama said that to me, I'd buy into it. Okay, it's my time's up. It's for the good of the country.
Do you think he does birthday messages? Because we should investigate.
Oh, my God, that would be amazing. Yeah.
Obama does birthday messages.
Maybe if we could.
I'm not sure. I think it's blokes from E17 rather
lot of
than
people
Obama
are doing
who do that kind of thing.
Well, then he should. It's
he's not busy, I don't think, anymore.
He's got a media company now. I think he's got a show. He's on Netflix. I'm sure he does something like that. That would be great if your birthday message was, Chris, you have to let this man kill you.
That's a terrible impression.
I'm not doing an impression of Obama. I'm just doing a general impression.
What is a nuclear football and can I get one? Because I love that phrase.
I loved it, but I don't know what
it
is.
You hear it a lot. I've got the nuclear football.
I've got the nuclear football. So to me, you pass it back and forth.
And it's keyed to the blood type and heartbeat of the president, the nuclear football. So that is that's the best football ever.
So does that mean that when the president touches it, it stabs him in the finger?
What are we talking about?
The nuclear football.
Wait, what does it look like in the movie?
I don't really know. He just says he's got the nuclear.
Like the palm print thing, but they say it's keyed to the blood type of the president. Mm. You can't read your blood type through your skin.
There's a horrible, like almost a running gag in this where because so many different people get sworn in as the new president.
Yeah, it's ludicrous.
It's like the guy just keeps turning up and goes, these are the nuclear codes. Keep them on your person. You're like, they almost should do it a third time just to keep the rule of three because it's like you keep seeing that scene.
That would be brilliant if they did that.
It's quite good though. I do think the bits on Air Force One with the vice president where he's sworn in as the president and then the people in the command bunker are like going, I don't think that's a good idea. And one of his staff goes, let me just tell you, you're speaking to the president now. And that real petty, small-mindedness that they are in, with all this going on, they're still more focused on the fact that their man is now the president, so people should respect him, even though moments ago he was the vice president, now he's the president.
It's also a massive distraction. Like, at that point, who cares?
No, because it makes them seem less sympathetic when Air Force One gets blown the fuck up.
Yeah, that's true.
So you kind of like, well, that'll teach you for being petty and making your new president do that. So it makes you go, great, Air Force One's blown up. I don't feel anything for those people.
But it is a distraction in the lift shaft, which I already hate that bit. There's this back and forth between Channing Tatum and Maggie Gyllenhaal where they're like, you need to get the president out of here. And if you don't do it in the next 5 minutes, he won't even be the president. It's like, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter, does it? Who cares?
Yeah, he seems to stop being the president despite everyone knowing he's alive a lot during this movie. It's like they're talking to him and they're swearing the other guy. And it's like, we've got him on the phone. It's like, it's probably not him.
That's another thing in both films. Phones that just work all the time just by you speaking, no matter where you are in a building or what you've got on you. Like, all you have to do is go, are you still there? Look down. And someone goes, yep, Channing Tatum was still with you.
You need that. So Maggie Gyllenhaal can, at three different intervals, go, the code for that key lock is 4576. It's a different one now. It's 3214.
Very boring. So the next amazing part of this film really is Emily running on the lawn with a flag to do the twirling to stop a bomb. But then lots of people are running towards her, something, unsure.
The Rock. It's The Rock.
The Rock.
It's The Rock crossed with Les Miserables.
So then everyone's saved and the right people are alive. The right people are dead. Richard Jenkins is the real baddie because of that old classic, I'm going to ring this number and see what happens. Oh, it's your pager. And then he just fesses up immediately, which is really like, there's no attempt for him to be like, this and this and this means this, this and this. He's just like, you got me, Channing Tatum.
Yeah, I managed to be part of the plan that took down the White House, but God.
Show me a pager.
We did mention probably one of the worst little lines in this is the fact that James Woods and Jamie Foxx are constantly arguing about whether it's the pen or the sword that is mightier.
My God. Mm.
And when Jamie Foxx finally steps up to take down James Woods, he actually says the line, I choose the pen! I choose the pen, stab!
I didn't like that.
It's awful. It's certainly no let off some steam, Bennett. It's like, I choose the pen.
But we also missed the... I quite like Jason Clarke's death where he's wearing a grenade necklace.
Oh, around his neck, yeah.
But it belongs in Olympus Has Fallen. That is a death from Olympus Has Fallen.
I didn't like the fact that they kept calling each other bitch. That annoyed me. I don't mind that normally, but he's like, you bitch.
Well, that's
and he's
good.
Like,
note to self.
Yeah, stop calling me a bitch.
When she's here.
But do you not find that jarring? He's like, this will teach you, you little bitch, and then blows his head off. Like, what the fuck is that supposed to be?
Yeah, rubbish.
Don't like that.
Bad and not then, $30 million writing.
Still better than, I choose the pen.
Rah!
I'd have loved it more if he'd gone, rah!
And then the bit, this final bit, which I just couldn't cope with, is they're on the plane. Channing Tatum gets the job. That's great. Gets Emily on the plane. She's like, please, can we just leave her off the plane?
Yeah, why is she on the? Why is she going on the plane?
And then mum lets her go.
Her mum says, yes, of course, go with your father.
No.
No, I'm going to take you home now.
Yeah, you'll never see him again, actually.
We're going to have a sit down. Yeah.
This is what happens. I told you he was like this. You can't just have a day out. No, etc. But then Maggie Gyllenhaal's like, sir, I need to tell you, you've brokered global peace. And he's like, oh, that's amazing. Let's do the flyby, blah, blah, blah. The president wants to do the thing. Sounds very, very suspicious and off.
Well, we sort of stopped that with Bill.
Yeah, we don't do that anymore. We stopped the thing.
When she tells him that because of all of this, his peace plan is a go, that got big laughs in the cinema.
It's hilarious.
Big, unintentional laugh.
As if all the G8 leaders are like, well, you didn't stop this shitstorm in your own fucking house, so I trust you to broker world peace. No, I don't think you do. And the flyby thing, is it just me? But I don't think it's that cool. Like, they're like, the president wants to do the thing. Yes. And then the first time they do it, Maggie Gyllenhaal's on the lawn with someone else and they're like, tell me we haven't got the greatest job in the whole world.
All of that stuff feels like it's cut and pasted from a bad episode of The West Wing, where they do those sentimental things all the time.
Yeah,
there is an argument for perhaps it's Jamie Foxx who has the tumor the size of a golf ball pressing on his frontal lobe. It's like we did the flyby this morning. He's like, I want to do it again.
I want to do it again.
And his poor wife and kids think he's dead. And would he not be in a rush to like get back to them? Oh, we got time to fly past Abe's knees.
But again, though, they
do the flyby and then Street Fighting Man by the Rolling Stones.
Makes no sense.
What's that got to do with anything? It's quite a specific song.
Specific song, probably quite hard to get. Or probably quite expensive.
Very expensive.
Yeah. Roland wants it.
Yeah. Olympus Has Fallen. And yeah, he's a fighter. He's a boxer. Maybe it works for that. But this, it's just no connection. No. Very odd.
No. And that is my thoughts. Those are my thoughts on that film.
So, just to go into a bit of detail here, Olympus cost 70 million and made 170 million. White House Down cost 150 million and made 200 million.
More than double. It doesn't look more than double.
No, it doesn't. I've written down that the remarkable, the budget differential when you watch it. There's slightly worse CG in Olympus Has Fallen, but it's not that dramatic. Runtime, very nearly the same, 10-minute difference. Olympus Has Fallen got 49% on Rotten Tomatoes. White House Down got 52%. It beat it by 3%.
Which makes for an exciting verdict coming up.
And the only thing I've got is Roland Emmerich announced, as we were just about to record, his new film is shooting. Would you like to know what Roland Emmerich's new film is?
Yes.
It's called Moonfall. Do you want to guess what it's about?
What? Oh my God, does the moon fall out of
Moonfall.
The sky?
It falls on, the moon is falling onto Earth.
It's about a space crew travelling to the moon after it's struck by an asteroid and is sent on a collision course with Earth.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not even making it up. Roland Emmerich's doing that.
Oh my God.
That man is a little liar. That's what he's like. This has never happened to me before.
Yeah, I wonder if someone else has just announced a big moon movie.
That sounds.
I thought you'd like that.
That sounds crazy.
It's bonkers.
That sounds so bad.
Yeah, we'll watch it.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't
stick to what you know. People say stick to what you know.
What will happen is parts of the moon will break off earlier and destroy monuments on Earth. But that it will, because he'll want that bit. He'll want that bit. And then the tides, the moon.
He should have the White House blowing up in the trailer.
Because the moon controls the tides, so he'll be able to have a few tsunamis as it gets closer to the Earth. Yeah, of course. This is actually good. This is good Roland Emmerich territory. Anything else?
The moon controls your periods, so you could have every single woman in the world menstruating at the same time. It's a bit more low-key.
A tidal wave, I've already covered that.
Oh.
Oh, look, he's got uncomfortable. That's interesting.
No, I was thinking, I was talking about someone running away from a wave if it was a giant period. Patrick Wilson's in it, Stanley Tucci, Halle Berry, Donald Sutherland. It's his usual sort of quite good actors slumming it for...
Yeah.
Whatever that's going to be.
Shall we do the bits then?
Yeah.
So, Chris, what was your favourite best scene?
I thought the best scene was the joyride around the garden that you hated so much, Vicky. Watching the president pick up a rocket launcher and fire at the baddies is fun.
Yes, they should do it the minute they get in the car and not drive around in circles. Uh-huh. And you?
Countdown moment. I'm just going to pass you. I actually have written here
what?
The car chase on the... on the lawn.
Great fun, isn't
with
it?
The rocket
it's great
launch.
Fun.
It's a great
it's
moment.
It's great fun. And the these can't be wrong because they're literally your opinion.
Yeah, it's the best scene. So that's what this section's called, best scene.
It is.
That's the best
the
scene.
The best scene is Emily twirling a flag, obviously, because of the shock and awe of it. Like, I can't believe that's the payoff.
Yeah, and to be honest, the first time I watched it, I hadn't clocked that was what they were doing this time. It was like, oh, that is actually quite
it's
clever.
Just so funny that they must have been, we've written ourselves into a corner here, because her whole thing with her dad is that he missed the flag twirling. So how do we resolve that? Oh, I know. She should.
No,
save
I imagine they came at the same time.
Your most valuable whatever, Alex.
James Woods. I love James Woods as an actor. I think he...
yeah,
what?
Steady.
Yeah, I do. As an actor, I wrote it down. It's in bold. As an actor.
Your Honour.
I just think he's great. He adds something to every movie he's in. And I think, you know, he adds a bit of class to the proceedings here in a different kind of way to your Tatums and your Foxes. Mm. I think he's great.
What about you?
I was going to say respect to James Wood, who between this and Contact has been hiding in plain sight this whole time and no one clocked it until the last 2 years. But I'm going to go for the pilot who does the right thing by aborting the mission he's been ordered to carry out.
Oh, that's nice.
But I also believe the film should end with him being fired for failing to follow orders.
That's the thing. It's not supposed to be the sort of job where you're like, actually, I decide. You're really supposed to follow orders.
Yeah, that is what all your training
all
is
your
about.
Training is,
yeah, the last week you go, screw this. Yeah. I'm not doing that. That's a kid
home.
On the lawn twirling a flag. My kid does that in a talent show.
My MVW is the same strategy, in fact, as Monday, which is, who do you fancy most in this film? That's Channing Tatum. Although, do you know what? Channing Tatum has been ruined for me a little bit, because you remember when we did the Magic Mike episode and you pretended to us that he, when he was a dancer, his name was Chinese Fanny, and then you said you made it up. And I can't stop thinking of that, and it ruins him for me a bit.
That was his stripper name.
It wasn't his stripper name.
Chinese Fanny.
It wasn't.
It was.
That's made up.
All right.
What would you change, Chris?
They should have a scene that where while Channing Tatum and Jamie Foxx are running through the White House tunnels, they bump into Gerard Butler and Aaron Eckhart.
Amazing.
Like the doppelganger scene in Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, that's solid. That's good. That's good. I've done mine already. I went early. Jenna, I just feel sorry for her. Yeah. It spoils the movie for me that she never... She never gets her date. She never gets Channing Tatum like second base in her or whatever. I don't know. I think it
could have been a post credit scene.
I would have liked that.
Channing's funny.
I just don't think she should blow up. I do think the Air Force One bit. I was reading about this idea. There was online about the Whammo theory, which is that every 10 pages, your screenplay needs something whammo. Mm-hmm. And depending on how big or small your screenplay is, it takes the size of the whammo. Obviously, this is a big movie, but the Air Force One bit is a properly great whammo moment. Mm-hmm. Like blowing up Air Force One, I didn't see it coming at all.
And it's because it goes upside down as well, which is so unnatural, mm-hmm. and it does look really amazing.
It's great. It's great.
I just want to cover off a few things with my change, if that's all right. The running joke of the politician, I don't know his actual job title, Roger Skinner, for crying is weak and a lame joke. So he's this big tough guy and he goes to pieces because fucking terrorists are going to blow his head off. So of course he goes to pieces. Like, I don't like the idea that because he's crying, like he's not really a man or he's not really brave.
And then when he... explain if he's a... because he's a right-wing commentator, isn't he?
Yeah, no, I think they're just having a pop at Fox News there.
Yeah, but then he does stand up for Emily and then he gets his fucking nuts blown off or something. It's like, I just don't like
shot
that
in the leg.
Because the white supremacist likes him, doesn't he? The white supremacist is a big fan of him. Yeah, the guy's a villain, so
I just thought it's just the crying thing. Like, people can cry when someone's going to blow your head off. Like, it's fine. It doesn't make you a figure of fun.
I didn't know you liked white supremacy so much. This is odd.
Did you not know that about me?
Very blonde.
And also, if someone had a gun pointed at me, I wouldn't cry.
You wouldn't cry?
No, of course not. I'd be like, don't point that. Stop pointing that fucking gun at me, mate.
Sit down.
Yeah. Take this girl. She filmed you. She filmed you. I saw her doing it. Get her.
Yeah. The other thing is, there has to be a romantic payoff for Channing Tatum with Maggie Gyllenhaal, because otherwise, what's the fucking point of all that, like, but we know each other, so we hate each other, and I won't give this job.
Oh,
blah, blah, blah.
Jesus, fucking, you haven't had enough with Jenna, have you? So Jenna, not only does she get blown up, Channing Tatum doesn't care and goes for Maggie Gyllenhaal?
Yes.
You can't have it both ways.
But the biggest change, and you will like this, because it's a John McClane change.
I'll be the judge of that.
Is Channing Tatum has got such a sweet face that he doesn't do when he's encroaching on the room with the hostages, and they've got his daughter, and he should be a man pushed to the edge by a very bad day, like Die Hard, and it gets quite dark, but he's always got such a nice attitude about the whole thing. Like, he's angry and he wants to get his daughter back, but he doesn't seem more menacing than he did at the beginning. His level of threat is still the same, and that's a mistake. He should be hiding in the curtains, camouflaged up, whatever. Like, he's gone apocalypse now. He's gone fucking nuts.
Butt naked.
Hey, yes.
Slathered in oil. Slipping about the floor. They won't get me. Because the terrorists would, like, try and grab him. But because he's covered in oil, their hands would just,
you know,
just slip off,
like, you know, when he just goes,
his chest.
Oh, Jesus. No, he just dances his way out of trouble. I think that's what I would like to see.
So you fancy him, but you don't really respect him as an actor? Because a lot of your jokes seem to go with him being in Magic Mike in every movie.
No, I like him in the Jump to Street films as well.
Yeah, I do wonder if he's miscast here. I think he does certain things very well.
Yes.
But I don't think he's a particularly versatile actor, and I'm not sure he works here.
There needs to be something more threatening him about him.
The Jump Street version of this character is the one he's good at.
Yeah.
And I don't think, like, a lot of people were sort of talk about how great the buddy element is between him and Jamie Foxx. I don't think so at all. I don't think it works. I don't think either of their characters are opposite enough for them to sort of have any kind of sparring or bickering.
I agree,
like, there's no conflict in their scenes. And for a good buddy thing, you need a bit of conflict. And it really lacks that.
As Jamie Foxx said on behind the scenes, he said, "We're both easygoing Southern cats."
Excellent. I can't wait to see that movie. Oh, you've made it. Yeah. Any more for any more?
No.
Right then. Time for the verdict. So, I pick these movies, which means, unless I choose to do it differently in the middle, I'll go last. Let's start with you, Christopher.
I think both of these movies are better than two of the Die Hard movies.
What?
And one of them might even be better than three of the Die Hard movies. I think White House Down has the better title.
Yes.
And I like that Americans are the villains of White House Down, as I'm quite troubled by the politics of Olympus Has Fallen and some of the stuff that's going on there. But in spite of having more actual jokes, White House Down is less funny and feels much more earnest in a way. And certainly at those screenings I attended, the audience, it felt like they were laughing with Olympus Has Fallen, but laughing at White House Down. And I think that might be affecting how I feel about these films, but I feel the same way now as I did then. I think Olympus Has Fallen is simply the better film.
Interesting. Victoria.
So, the fact that the terrorists in White House Down are homegrown makes it better because it doesn't age as badly. The minute you've got North Koreans, all the North Korean needs to do is not be threatening anymore, which is probably not going to happen, but then you've aged your film massively forever.
It goes in circles though, doesn't it? Russians were fine for a while and all those films seem dated. They're back now.
But White House Down, a lot of it really is crawling around in a lift and can't be having that. Then in terms of your hero, I do love Channing Tatum very much and I do not gel with Gerard Butler. I don't get it. Like, I really don't get it. I don't find it. There's a brilliant Guardian article about this film, and the way that the writer describes Gerard Butler is like, he's like your dad's friend who's got far too much power. And it's like, that really tickled me. He's like, who is Mike Banning? Why is he so good at his job? It makes no sense to me. But with Channing Tatum, because he has this very strong emotional beat to pull off about reconnecting with his daughter, and I agree with you, Chris, I didn't really buy him as a dad. Plus, I was led to believe it was a hilarious buddy comedy where one of the buddies happens to be the president of the United States, and it isn't. I'm also going to pick, which I cannot believe, Olympus Has Fallen.
Whoa, there we go. That is the result. Olympus Has Fallen has won. Probably should have gone second because I was picking White House Down. Had a bit of jeopardy. But I actually think it's a really tough call. Just for the record, for me, Olympus Has Fallen opens massively and gradually gets more and more boring, whereas White House Down starts so slowly and by the end is actually quite exciting. And I had to boil it down to rewatchability, and I'd rather rewatch White House Down knowing that it was going to get better rather than starting Olympus Has Fallen going, this is going to get very boring after that plane crash. So I'd have gone White House Down, but Olympus Has Fallen has won, and I'm not too bothered this week because it's too difficult to really pick between them. I think I'm happy.
They're both too good.
But it's just,
So we've elected Aaron Eckhart as our president.
I'd have either of them, to be honest, given the state of things, to be like as they are now, as like actors. Do you want to just step up and have a pop at it? Like, why not?
I still think Morgan Freeman, if he ran for the White House, heartbeat, you know, especially with Moonfall coming out, fear of the moon falling. Morgan Freeman, he's got experience
he's
in
done
that
it
department.
Before. Yeah. I mean, just polish off that old speech.
Exactly. Although he does sometimes dress a little too young, I find for an older man.
When
you
see
in real life,
yeah, I completely agree.
I was like, "What are you doing, Morgan Freeman? You have played the president of the United States more than once. What are you doing?"
I think he's a bit of a devil in real life. Yeah. He's a bit of a naughty boy. Mm.
Probably don't run for office then, that shit comes out. So,
you found
my political career began and ended with one phone call from a tabloid. We know about this. Great, great out. So, what I just need to not put my name on the ballot paper. Done. Let's talk about next week then. Chris, your choices. Remind us of the clue you gave us.
It's L.A. Neo-Noir.
L.A. Neo-Noir.
So I listened back to the Witches episode and I heard me telling a Stuart Little wanking joke. And I felt like we needed to class the joint up a bit, and maybe I need to redeem myself with these choices. So I'm going to go for something a little more highbrow. Vicky, you have Chinatown.
That's mad.
And if you're in the UK, that's on Sky and available to rent on Amazon. Alex, you have LA Confidential. And that is on Amazon Prime in the UK and also available on Sky Store.
That wasn't because I don't like LA Confidential. Yeah. That's because this is a lot of work.
Yeah, you need to start now.
This is a lot of work.
How many times have you seen LA Confidential? I bet you know it really well.
Yeah, but it's a lot of work.
Easy peasy.
I feel like it's a lot. I feel like I gave you movies where you just had to watch the movies and read one legal case out, and that's it. And now I'm going to spend.
Oh, so you're going to read the novel? This is great news. I wasn't expecting that.
I forgot about the novel.
you haven't got a novel.
No, I know I haven't.
He's got a novel.
I meant his novel.
Anyway,
you can read my novel if you want. I'm happy.
I'd love to.
I'm happy for you to do that. All right then. So, Chinatown versus LA Confidential. That is next week's shows if you want to do your homework. Thank you very much for listening. Congratulations. Olympus has fallen. The winner of our War of the White House. Do please subscribe to us if you haven't done already and rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I know I say it all the time, but it is really, really helpful to us. And do follow us on Twitter at ClashPod. Back on Monday, talking Chinatown. Bye-bye.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
First dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? My dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.